Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
Wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife. Cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please. Cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seed. We gotta grow as a
people. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're here once again, Let's Talk Truth broadcast, and we're so happy that you've tuned in to join us today. We are in for another dynamic show. The title of our show today is 99 Yards and Holding, and that has a lot of meaning to us, and we want you to understand how it can affect your life and the position you're in. Have you gone, or you feel like you've on a football field? I know those of you that's in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, you love the Dallas Cowboys. Any of the other college teams, you love them as well. But have you ever seen any of those guys break for a long run down the field? And your heart is racing, their little legs are pumping, and you're saying, oh, we're going to get a touchdown, and then right at the one-yard line, somebody stops them, you know, and you say, where'd that tackle come from, or why wasn't somebody blocking? Well, we say all those things, but actually those are things that affect our lives on a day-to-day basis. We have traveled a football field for 99 yards, and we are standing on the one-yard line, and we don't know what to do. We don't know whether to run the ball in, punt, or whatever we're going to do, but all I know is we need to do something. So this is where we stand on a day-to-day basis. Now, Let's Talk Truth. First of all, I want to say this, as I do at the top of every show. We're not here to preach to you. However, it says Let's Talk Truth, so we have to put God in it to arrive at the truth. Otherwise, as we say in our theme song, it's going to be our opinion if we don't say it like God wants us to say it. Now, we have such an honor here this evening, because today, Let's Talk Truth is going to be joined by one of a very renowned author, Brian Light, and his beautiful wife, Ronnie. And they have experienced that holding on the one-yard line. I know, I've talked to them, and one thing that I appreciate about them, a lot of people don't want to admit that they have had a tackle somewhere in life. We don't want to admit that. We want you to believe that we were born, married, and go on the glory without any hesitations, but that's not true, because in order for us to arrive at our appointed purpose and our appointed destination in life, you're going to be tackled, and sometimes you're tackled to the point that you don't know how to recover. So it's going to take someone to help you recover. Now, when I met Brian and his wife, Ronnie, they shared their story with me, part of their many stories with me. And I asked him if he'd like to be a part of our broadcast one day. And I told him, I said, since you don't know me very well and I don't know you very well, I want you to be a part of my show, and I want you to pick what we're going to talk about. And he chose this topic, 99 yards and holding, because I believe it has a lot to do with our need for deliverance in our lives. You have to be delivered from something. And like I say, we're not born where we are. We're born travelers going to where we're going. So we need to be delivered to get there. So Brian and Ronnie, they come to us. They are members of a beautiful, wonderful ministry, Gateway Church in Midlothian, Texas. And they have just really blessed our souls talking into where they're from. So, you know, I'm just honored to have them. And they're my guest. He chose this topic. So as we get into it, he's going to, him and Ronnie is going to be the one talking, because they are here, as I said earlier, they can show us how to get into the end zone. See, until we get into the end zone, the scores don't count. So we've got to get there. Now, along with Ronnie and Brian Light, we also have Louise here with us, and we just thank her so very much for being here. And we have none other than Mr. Motivator. He is here as well.
Yes.
And all of these four people have some insight that I think will come together and help us know that, yes, there is an appointed time on your calendar for your deliverance. Because without deliverance, you can't make it into the end zone. You will not make it into the end zone. You will always fall short. And no one wants to say, I played this entire game of life and I never scored one touchdown. I mean, I don't think Jerry Jones would like it too much if his if all his team ever did was just kick a field goal. They want touchdowns sometimes. You can't win a game on that. So the game of life cannot be won if you never go into the end zone.
That's right.
So when Brian said he wanted to talk about 99 yards and holding, I said, I mean, it just a light came on. And I thank him so very much for allowing us to be here and share this with him, because if we share with him, then we're able to share in the hearts of others out there. There are some people right now that's on the one-yard line, and they don't have a clue why they're still standing there, because that's not God's intent. He intends for us to finish. He intends for us to score, and score meaning that I have peace.
Yes.
I have peace, joy. He said the kingdom of heaven is what at hand, and meaning what is the kingdom of heaven? Peace and joy through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So this is what we're doing. Now that I've done all this talking, and if I'm the expert over here, I'm going to ask Brian or Ronnie, just whoever the Lord leads to come out, since this is Brian's baby. I'm going to let you start rocking it, you know, and feeding it so that other people can understand it. So you just come whatever the way the Lord leads you to come.
All righty. Well, first of all, Ronnie and I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. And also just the truth, I haven't had the opportunity to know you very long, and you're just such a blessing from the first time I met you, which was not in an environment that we would think it would be in, but it's just totally a blessing. And when I came home after meeting Lois, I had to I shared everything with Ronnie, my wife. And
that's sweet.
But getting through that 99 yards and holding, it's kind of an interesting story. A little over about 3.5 years ago, I have a dear friend of mine that teaches a Sunday morning Bible study at the church, and I get a call at noon on a Saturday, and he said, Brian, he said, I hate to spring this on you, at the last minute, but I've got an emergency, I'm going out of town, and can you fill in for me tomorrow morning? And so when things like that happen, you know, if you have a week or so to prepare for. Anyway, if you have a week or so to prepare, then that's one thing. But when you have basically a few hours, you know, on a Saturday afternoon to prepare, then it's a little bit, your mind starts kind of going in different directions. Well, anyway, after there was a long silence, and after the shock had worn off, I said to my friend, I said, yes, I would be glad to. And I said, what do you want me to talk about? Or what's the teaching that you would like? And he said, God will give you the topic, and he will give you the words to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a little sidebar on that, I was delivered 5.5 years ago. And at that time that I was delivered, and I'll be talking a little more about deliverance further on in the program, but I told God at that time, I said, I will do anything that you ask me to do, even if it's uncomfortable or I feel like I'm going to be unprepared to do it, because I know that I'm not going to be doing it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be there with me. And I do know for a fact that God never embarrasses any of his children when they're doing his will.
Exactly.
So with that confidence, then I said a quick prayer, and immediately at the prayer, the 99 yards and holding, what keeps many Christians from crossing God's goal line?
Mm.
Okay, it just flashed at me. And then at that point, then I grabbed a pen and paper and just started writing down the points.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that's anyway a little history how messages will come
mm-hmm.
and out of the clear blue because God gives them to you at that very moment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I feel necessary that before I get into that point, I want to briefly share my testimony, if that'll be all right.
Mm-hmm, that's fine,
and,
yes.
Anyway, because it all ties into that, because I was one of those 99 yards and holding Christians, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll start out I was saved at a church revival when I was 8 years old, you know, not unlike a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
you know, the young people when they were saved. My dad was a preacher, and contrary to what they say about preachers' kids, I was a pretty good kid. I know that there's probably some people that might disagree with that.
Yeah,
but
we were all Marlins.
but anyway, I think it had something to do with the philosophy back then: spare the rod, spoil the child.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to learn if it hurts when you do that, then don't do that. I think that was probably a little rebellious spirit at work there.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was like most Christians. You know, we try and think we're doing the right things we're supposed to do. And then little by little, compromise soon starts to set in and starts
mm-hmm.
playing a role in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It started out somewhat innocent, and we get comfortable with that compromise. And then with many more compromises that come in, then all of a sudden it becomes – kind of a way of life, the compromises, and it all boils down to choices, because
mm-hmm.
God has given us free will. He's not going to make us do anything that we don't want to, and anyway, that's kind of, so it's just very gradually that it kind of comes on, and I notice that I start losing my joy and my peace in my life, but it comes so subtly and so gradually that you don't realize, okay, I used to be a lot happier and more fun-loving,
mm-hmm.
and then you know, how come I'm not that way anymore? But anyway, getting back to the analogy of the 99 yards and holding, I was marching down the field a lot toward the goal line. I could still see the goal line. Didn't really know what it meant to get in the end zone, but I could still see that with a post. And I started to fumble the ball a lot. I started getting sacked a few times. Then I started to throw a lot of interceptions, as they say. You keep the football analogy working there. And,
mm-hmm.
and then I had to start all over again after every time I'd throw an interception just to go back and regain the yardage that I lost.
That you had lost. Oh.
Well, with that went on for many, many years. Frustration started to set in just like it would be with anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, running them down the football field and a lot of effort and not accomplishing a whole lot from a spiritual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And down deep, I really wanted what God had to offer in the end zone, but I just really didn't, I just didn't really know how to get there. I was just kind of running up and down. And then I fell into what a lot of people fall into. You know, when you're frustrated a lot, then you get into what we call escapisms.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody has a different escapism. Soon the escapism, you know, becomes the God of choice.
Uh-huh.
It's the I had escapisms with my Christian friends, and then I have non-Christian friends too that they had escapisms, and
mm-hmm.
it was you know, it's kind of like what they say, A lot of times the only difference in sometimes Christians and non-Christians is their Sunday morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, for us, when they look at it, they might go to church on Sunday, but the rest of the week, you know, they're living just like everybody else is.
Yeah. I don't want you to lose your thought, but I want to ask you something because a lot of people want to know this.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that you were doing this catastrophe of a football, losing yards, throwing interceptions, all of those things.
Yes.
Was this beautiful woman your wife, or had you not met her yet?
Well, she was there.
She was there.
And I don't know why she was there, but I guess God told her to be there. And
because a lot of women, people that's listening to you tonight, they're going to want to know, how did Ronnie stay focused in this game? Because you are the quarterback.
That's right.
You are the quarterback of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Ronnie has to run your plays.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to either run them, go down the field and catch your passes.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to do all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Clean up messes.
She's got to do all of this. And you're the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Ronnie, just briefly, before, we don't want him to lose where he is.
Well, I just want to add that while all this was going on, we were continuing to look like the perfect little family that went to church, did all the right things, dressed the part.
Yes.
But Brian was not there. He was there physically, but I knew he was not. His heart was not there. And I never had to argue with him about going to church. He would always go, but that was part of his cover up.
Mm-hmm. That was your escape route.
And the scorecard.
And the way I was handling it at that time, I was very sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finding ways to handle it. And at that time, it was antidepressants. I would take antidepressants. But I'm free of that.
I understand.
But that is how I dealt with it, because it was very hurtful.
Let's see, I wanted to bring that to that point, because if I'm listening to this and I say, oh, well, he did all that and he did it to himself.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But you didn't just do that to yourself. You did that to your family.
Right.
Because as the quarterback of a household, you have to be the one know how to call the plays, play to call, that your family can feel good about themselves. So
that's
wanted to kind of throw that in and let you come in with that as you continue.
Yeah, very, very good point there, because my frustration led to my escapisms, as it would be the people around me, that they very frustrated because of my actions and everything else, and then everybody will have their own escapisms. And it's kind of the a lot of people in society don't realize that escapism is only a symptom of the spiritual compromises that are in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have chosen to influence, and in many cases it rules our life, but the escapism is only the symptom of that. And what it is, society teaches us to treat the symptom and not the cause, because very few people are trained to treat spiritual compromises.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you know, would you use a skilled politician performing heart surgery on you?
No.
And some people would say they probably would use a skilled politician to do anything.
But you
follow what I'm talking about.
Right.
Because there's very few. And a spiritual compromise is a demonic activity that's been allowed to influence the mind of a Christian, not the spirit of a Christian, but the mind of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I throw these things out that a lot of people, they raise a lot of flag. Well, a Christian cannot have demonic influences, and I can prove that to you biblically, but it can, and not the spirit of a Christian, but the mind of a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I'll give a little charge out there to the people listening. If anyone disagrees with this statement, then I ask the question, and I'm just going to rattle off some things that I've written down. Have you ever seen a Christian that likes to escape or chill out by using alcohol, abuse of prescription, mood-altering medications?
Somebody's being out.
Yeah. Drugs, legal or illegal, pornography, excessive gaming, excessive social networking, hits the buttons there. Fear of being an example for God, anger issues, unforgiveness and hatred issues, bitterness from past hurts, pride, ego, rebellion, depression, anxiety, panic, feelings of unworthiness, because that's a biggie right there. Unhappy marriages is another one. Dysfunctional family dynamics, which that's another one. Driven spirit, or as we like to, in the modern language, like to call it OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, we've all got acronyms and initials for things, and I think we know those, and sometimes we look in the mirror and we see them. You know? And also cursing and profanity. Now, this is just a small little this is just a small little laundry list of ungodly behavior, but the list is limitless because, once again, like I said before, each person's escapism or demonic activity that goes on is for them. Mine is not necessarily yours, and vice versa. But if we compromise our spiritual values, then Satan knows which escapism to tempt us with. And God saw my frustration, and he sent a mentor to me, and his name is Jim Brewer. And I get a little bit emotional on this because...
You go right ahead.
Jim has a very strong deliverance ministry. And through Jim's unconditional friendship and his ability to explain what was going on in the spiritual world, I was delivered, like I said, 5.5 years ago, and it was on August the 2nd, 2008. At that time... God gave me the game plan, and I was, and it was now in place for me to get across the goal line. Through deliverance, I was able to cross the goal line, and my life was never has never been the same. And I'd like to, you know, I like to throw out this thing when I say deliverance because it's talked not a lot about in the different churches, and then when it is, it's not really talked about in its fullness. And I share a little sidebar once again that. Every time I would hear the word deliverance in the church, I would think of the 1972 canoe trip in Georgia with Burt Reynolds and John Foote. And so anytime I hear the word deliverance go out, and all of a sudden there I was on the river and hear the banjo. And it had nothing to do with the deliverance that we're talking about through Jesus Christ. But anyway, I'll briefly say what it is in case those out there are still thinking about the canoe trip. What is the criteria for deliverance? It is a total surrender of a Christian's will to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it's not 99%, it's
100%.
Now, when I get into this 99 and 100, I always liked, even though I've never been pregnant, nor plan on never being pregnant, but what the women say about pregnant, you can't be 99% pregnant. You're either 100% or you're not. You know, so anyway, if you want to think of it that way, you're either delivered or you're not delivered. And your commitment is total or it's not. You also give God total authority over your life. I was talking earlier about the free will. That God will not take anything from us, but we can give God our will. And when we've done that, then that's what you know allows us to get through our deliverance. To be delivered means you will do anything God will ask of you, including your most insecure abilities. You must be willing to stand strong for God under any circumstances. There will be no compromises. And that's what got me in trouble to start with, the little compromise. It's like Ronnie says.
Little foxes can spoil the vine.
That said an awful lot. But anyway, back to that, there will be no compromises concerning your obedience to God in your personal and professional life. And I threw a little sidebar on there, which those should be the same anyway. You know, because sometimes we act different in our personal life than we do in our business life and things like that. So that should be one and the same. That should be to maintain your deliverance. After deliverance, your life will display true joy and peace and a life empowered with the anointing of God. Now, it's kind of, I always like to say, too, when you see people, for example, at church, you see some people, they got the joy of the Lord and said, oh, I want what they got. And then there's other people walking around and they look like they're at a funeral and just went to the wrong church, you know. And it's like, you know, it's kind of like, wait a minute, I don't want what they got because they're happy. I mean, they're sad and they're carrying around a lot of frustration. I want the peace and the joy. When I got delivered, I got the peace and the joy in my life. And I no longer run around with the negative and the other things. But anything short of the peace and joy that you're being displayed, not manufactured, but displayed, and that's true, anything short of that means that there's still some issues in your life that you need to be delivered from. And also deliverance can be layers because we didn't get that way overnight.
That's right.
And then there's a lot of things, because I know I had what I call the Outback restaurant, Blooming Onion.
Yeah.
Kind of visualize that Blooming Onion.
Yeah.
You know, I know as Jim delivered me of a whole lot of the layers and the layers and the layers, and I thank God for him every day for that. But also in a delivered state, we are quick to repent, quick to forgive. Well, that's a biggie. Quick to forgive, and quick to move forward with God's plan. Deliverance needs to take place anytime we have allowed anything other than God to come into our life. Now, at the time a person is saved, they're delivered at that moment. They're made new at that moment. You can only be saved once. But you can be delivered as many times as you allow demonic things and compromises to come into your life.
Exactly.
And then I go into a little bit of a fact there. It's kind of like in any competition, since we were talking about the football thing, in any competition or war, the winners are the ones that know how the enemy works. If we do not know about spiritual warfare, then we become the spoils of war. And before my deliverance, I had become the spoils of the spiritual war. I'd lost my joy and my peace. A spirit of hopelessness and unworthiness was constantly spinning my mind. I had trouble sleeping. When you're tired, you become weary, and then that good old spirit of negative attitude starts to dominate your way of life. And it sure did. You become numb to your family, friends, yourself, and to God. You couldn't hear. God speaks in a still small voice, and I had gotten so numb I couldn't hear it like you think on the Ten Commandments, the Charlton Heston movie, and the booming voice.
Yeah.
God speaks in a still small voice. And I couldn't have heard God if he was on a PA system, over me, because I had gotten so numbed to everything through my compromise. And when in that state, you don't even know where the goal line is. You don't even know if you're on a football field. And I always like to even use this, don't know what team I'm on.
Yeah.
And then I would say, where am I and how did I get here?
Trying to run a touchdown at the wrong goal.
Yes.
You
don't even know behind the stands. He wasn't even on the field.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And, you're coming across with a lot of honesty. So much honesty. You have said so much already that a person listening should be able to stand and say, I need deliverance.
Yes.
We should automatically say, I need deliverance.
Yes.
And you said something a minute ago. First of all, you were talking about how you got your topic. And you said, if we stand there, God will give us
Amen.
The topic. We don't listen to God. We don't stand in front of God long enough. Because, like you say, you were a mess.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even know where you were half the time. You didn't know. And the one thing people need to understand, first and foremost, before you declare you don't need deliverance, every person that's listening to my voice tonight have a purpose in life.
Amen.
You were born to do something for God.
Yes.
And you can't do it until you're delivered to do it.
That's right.
That's right.
And you said it, your wife couldn't do what she does until you were delivered.
That's right.
I couldn't do what I'm supposed to do until I've been delivered.
Right.
We cannot depend on us knowing how long it's going to take. We just got to hang in there until God does it. And it doesn't take God that long once we sell out.
And that's right.
Doesn't take it.
100%.
You said something else. You said that your life at church, work, everything should be the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it is now.
But you guess how many people don't do that? I know plenty
right.
of people in businesses go to church every Sunday, but they won't give somebody a break at work. You know what they
oh, yeah.
say? Business is business.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can, you know, I know you're Christian now, but business is business. I got to make that dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not the same. So there is a deliverance that needs
mm-hmm.
to take place right there.
That's right.
Yes.
And you said another thing, that loving God, you have to want to love God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want him to be the center of your life. And it has to be that unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
How do you move into unconditional love if you don't have unconditional God?
Yes,
that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? You
Amen.
Have to be delivered to have that unconditional.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell this brief story, and then I'm going to give it back
yeah.
to Brian. There was a man who had a friend that he loved dearly. And the friend was an alcoholic. And so the... He said, I'm going to pray for him until God delivers him. And he prayed year after year after year. See, when we think that God has given up, he never gives up, and he doesn't want us to give up. And just like you, Ronnie, you kept praying for your husband and praying for him and praying for him. And I don't believe he would have ever got delivered had you started slapping him upside the head, too. Life was already doing that to him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just stayed focused in praying to God.
Well, what I had to do, 17 years ago when all this started, God delivered me first.
So you could stand.
And so I could stand.
Yeah.
And he said he had heard my prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, don't leave him. And I can tell you, many, many, many people said, what are you doing?
Yeah, you had
lost
your
mind.
Yeah,
right. This man.
Wow.
I said, no, God said to stay.
Uh-huh.
And but had I not
been delivered, you couldn't have heard
oh,
God
yeah.
say that.
Wow. See, the deliverance empties you so God can fill you and give you the strength to stand. And then God will put someone precious around you, too, to help you stand, like Jim Brewer. He was the man that helped us to stand.
But
and
you
have
just
faith
kept standing
him.
And praying for him. You know why? You loved him.
Yes, and I would like to say this to any woman out there right now that's listening, that is believing for their husband who's maybe drinking, an alcoholic, he's abusive in the home, and they're wanting him delivered, that if they will really get delivered themselves and focus 100% on God, and if they will believe and stand and then allow the power of the Holy Spirit
glory.
To come and fill him.
Yes.
God says that he can change the man by the conversation of the wife.
Yes.
Oh,
and that is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1.
I am so glad you said that
because
I have a friend, and I'm serving notice. This is Let's Talk Truth, so, I you know, if you get mad at me, I'm sorry. For all of you women out there that's standing in the church, got the Bible in your car, holding it in your hand, get it in your heart. Because if you've been going to church 20 years and your husband's still running the street, your conversation is not what it should be. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because God will deliver that man for you.
You have to walk in love and forgiveness with him.
Yes.
For God to do it.
For God to do it. And to finish telling this story, the man prayed for his friend. And so he was on his deathbed. He told his wife, he said, I prayed for my friend, but he never came. So he died. It was at his funeral that his friend stood up and gave his life to Christ. So my reason for saying that is for us not to focus on how long it takes God to do the pulling.
That's right.
We just need to do our part.
That's right.
That's right.
Okay, Brian.
Anyway, like I said, we don't get that way overnight. It gradually became this way due to my choices, my compromise, and really my lack of knowledge in the spiritual warfare. In Hosea, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've rejected knowledge. And that's another sermon topic or message topic all in itself. But the main thing is not everybody understands how the deliverance ministry works. And it can be very dangerous. It'd be like going into combat and with blanks, making a lot of noise, but you're not doing anything, and you know it's not constructive. But getting back to I told you about my mentor Jim Brewer. I thank God every day for sending people like Jim Brewer and other people that to operate in the deliverance ministry and to teach how the power of the Holy Spirit can deliver those that make a choice. And then I go back to that, they have to make a choice. And it's got to be 100% choice, not a 99% choice. To have a more fulfilled life with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, my choice to be delivered, and I go back, I had to make the choice. Nobody can make it for me. My wife couldn't, Ronnie couldn't have made it, or she would have made it when she got delivered years prior to mine. But anyway, my choice to be delivered has allowed me to experience freedom, and it's like the commercial, priceless, you know, freedom. My wife is now my soulmate.
Oh, glory. Wow.
And this coming Sunday, January the 26th, we will have been married 40 years.
Yeah.
And people at our 15-year mark or 10-year mark or 20-year mark or 25-year mark or 30-year mark have said, no, that would never happen, you know. Yeah. But we have a better marriage today than I would have ever dreamed of 40 years ago. Since the deliverance, you know, 5.5 years.
Yeah.
I'm also a better father. I'm a better friend.
Yeah.
I enjoy serving the needs of others.
Yes.
I have peace, joy, and I sleep like a baby at night. And I don't have to take anything. Like the only thing I take is a multivitamin, and that's because they say you're supposed to.
Isn't that wonderful?
But I sleep at night before. I would have mood-altering medications, antidepressants. I'd drink beer, all of the above, and then I could get about an hour at a time, wake up all anxiety and everything. When I got delivered that very day,
from one minute
to the next,
totally different.
And that's why I talked about earlier,
no withdrawals.
That escapisms are symptoms of what the problem is. Now, I'm not going around talking negative about how different ways people, you know, God can use different ways, but I can say for myself that when I got rid of the symptom, which was my escapism, which was the demonic spirit that wanted me to escape, if I didn't ever would not want to escape, then I wouldn't have ever gone into the escapism of choice.
Exactly.
You know, some people have one, some people have all of the above, you know. But you get rid of the demonic influence that has affected your mind that causes you to want to escape, then you can cross the goal line and have peace and joy, have a relationship. People want what you got.
That's right.
And power.
And power.
Power in your prayer.
Oh, my Lord.
In your life. We've seen so many people healed and delivered, and even the power of God operate.
And to talk about the escapisms. My escapism is my relationship with Jesus Christ, and I protect this relationship at all costs. And in other words, if there's a compromise, if it's just halfway at like it's a compromise, as the old saying, when in doubt, throw it out. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So if there's even a thing, there's no such thing as a gray area.
Okay.
It either is or it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we operate that way, and it can even go into our choices from a standpoint of saying yes or no, take the word maybe out of it. You know, that can be with friends or anything else. I now enjoy the rewards of God's end zone. I'm thankful and grateful that God is giving me opportunities like this to share my testimony and to coach and mentor others as God has directed me. I'm committed to teaching those that want to be taught out across the goal line. And after all, it is a choice. And and if it would be appropriate, because Ronnie and I, with what we're passing on what has been given to us
of course.
Through people like Jim Brewer, and then the what we've learned and what God has imparted to us through through everything, I would like to extend our email address that if people listening that would want to have questions, and even if they live in this area, we could arrange to meet with them.
Go ahead.
Then if they if they're out of the area, then we could answer their questions on email. So I'm going to give my email address. It's BD Light, and it's B as in Brian, then D as in Dallas, LIGHT, just like the light. So that's BD Light at sbcglobal.net. Then once again, that's S as in Sam, B as in Boy, C as in Charlie, then global.net. So that once again, BD Light at sbcglobal.net, and we welcome any questions that you would have about what we've talked about thus far, and we still have time, but I just wanted to make sure that I did get that out there. Because
Exactly. I'm just so grateful that you all have decided to share your life, and in the event someone out there wants to know, I want to do my Deion Sanders dance in the end zone.
I want to
be in the end zone.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone should. You don't have to do it like Deion Sanders. Do your own end zone dance. Just get in that end zone and understand that you have a purpose in God, and you can't do it up the field. You can't do it on the 30, the 40, the 50. You've got to get in the end zone and do your part.
I believe that this is the church that Jesus is coming back for.
It is.
The one walking in power and in the end zone.
That's right. I do too. And I absolutely believe that. And I also want people to experience that peace.
Oh, yes. That peace that surpasses all understanding.
Mm-hmm. There's a peace in your life. Just like right now, people talk about, oh, the economy is this and the economy is that. But when you've been delivered and you're in the end zone, you have peace about the economy. The economy doesn't run you. God runs the economy.
No matter what's going on.
No matter what's going on. If you have rebellious kids, whatever it is that's causing your focus to be pulled away from everything, whatever it is, deliverance will allow you to do what you need to do and do it on time.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, like it gets that freedom, that peace, that freedom. Because there's so many people that are Christians that have the secret life. And it could be something very dramatic, or it could be something very small, and that could be another topic in itself.
And it's,
but there's so much anxiety and guilt and things that hit you with trying to keep the secret life working.
But there's also bondages that we get that come from generations past. And I know I was delivered of a spirit of rejection that the Lord showed me came on me when I was a first grader, a little innocent first grader. And that spirit ministered to me. It ministered everything when I would communicate with people and how I was with people. Once I was set free from that, I was completely different with people.
Yes, I had a spirit of control.
Yes.
I had to control my life. I had to control the space. I have been standing beside the man that holding his hand and drawing that imaginary line. You can hold my hand, but you cannot ever move into this space.
Yeah.
This is my space.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and I'll tell all you women out there, I'm still single because of it. So, so that's not a pretty sight. I mean, it's nothing for you to, you know, be proud of.
No.
And there's a thing that you can tell when people have gone undelivered with that secret life. There's a thing that's called scar tissue.
Yes.
Have you ever had a cut yourself, you cut yourself deep, It doesn't heal underneath, but it heals on top.
Mm-hmm.
You can hit that thing a certain way, and you will scream because you have not been delivered inside.
Maybe covered up.
Yes, it's covered up, but it still needs healing. So the heart of a person, you have got to learn how to humble yourself and be healed. You can always, my mama used to say, you don't have to hit a dog, just hit close to the dog and he'll holler. That's the way it is for us. When we think, we want people to think we got it all together. Just one little thing, and man, we'll come off the top ropes. You know, we'll come off cursing and fighting and doing whatever.
And that's not a part of our lives.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I heard through the grapevine that Brian had a hot book. Now, does your book cover any of these areas, great points that you talked about tonight? And could you tell us a little bit about that? Because I want a copy because one of my friends got one and she's been talking about it. So tell us about your book. And I got some friends listening. They want to know how they can get a hold of one of these books as well.
Okay. Well, yes, to answer your question, the book is about my walk and Ronnie's walk.
Okay.
And a lot of the points that we've covered, and then there's a lot of stories. But it's Journey from Darkness into His Marvelous Light.
Wow,
is the name of the book. Yeah,
Journey from Darkness.
I have to tell you about how this book
started. Oh,
because I went to work that morning, and I drive a school bus. I used to teach high school, but now I drive a school bus.
Wow.
And but when I was turning the corner to park my bus at a certain spot, I read Mount First High there. But as I turned the corner, I heard a voice. It was audible. He said, it's time to write the book. And I thought, wow.
6:15 in the morning.
And so I had left Brian in the office at home, and I thought, I'm going to tell him that when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
So after I got off my morning route, I came home, went into the office where I'd left him, and I was going to tell him what I heard, an audible voice.
Yeah.
And on his desk, he had written down the name of the book and the name of the 20 chapters of the book. And we had not even discussed writing a book.
But see, God had moved.
And the book was written
in
6 weeks.
In 6 weeks.
And I had a full-time job, and I was taking the Real Man Ministry group, which is 9 books, 9 months, 9 essays, 9 workbooks.
Yeah.
I mean, that in itself was a deal in addition to a full-time job.
Wow.
And I'd spent a week in the hospital in the middle of all that. But this book, that Journey from Darkness into His Marvelous Light, was it was written in 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It was completed
in the
middle of all that.
Actually, God dictated it to us.
Yes.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
And where can everybody
if they would, right now it's self-published, so through that email that I had given, and once again I will say it's bdlight@sbcglobal.net.
And also, before we have, I believe, 11 minutes, and before we go on, I want to thank Brian and Ronnie for being here on our show today.
Thank you for the honor.
And I'm telling you, it's been awesome to see two servants of the Lord with so much power and to come and let you know. Just strip yourselves and let people see where you came from to right now.
Yes.
And that should encourage a lot of people to let them know you don't have to hide anything from God, because we've all come from somewhere.
Once you're delivered, you don't care.
You don't care.
That is so.
That was another person.
That was another person from a long time ago. And once God has done his job, he doesn't even remember that stuff anymore.
Yes.
So, and I just thank you. I thank Mr. Motivator for being here. He's quieter today than he's ever been.
I'm not saying that because I had a special surprise for you. And Captain invited one of our friends, and he wanted to say hi to you at the show, and he had a little gift for you.
Mm-hmm.
And would you come on up, friend? Hello, everybody. This is Reverend Dr. Do Right. And you can't do right until you're first. Get right, and you can't get right until you get Jesus. Hallelujah. And Mama Nim sent something for all of the friends. He had lost his radio show because she's my favorite show. And I want everybody to take one of these sandwiches that Mama Nim sent. These are some hot sugar sandwiches. So all of y'all get one.
Thank you, Reverend.
Thank you, Reverend Dr. Dewey.
Hey. Okay, Reverend Dr. Dewey. Thank you for coming by. But I have just been, I want to thank you for this sandwich, but I am actually full right now.
Are we supposed to call security?
Could you? Could you put him out of here, please?
Okay.
But, you know, just really, that's good. You do. He said something that's really true. You can't do right till you get right.
Yes.
So we're going to have him work on that next time he
yes.
stops by one of our shows. I want security to stop him at the front door.
Yes.
If you see a man in a loud yellow hat, stop him. Okay?
Yes.
So I really did enjoy this show, 99 Yards and Holding. So if any of you go ahead and admit to yourself you've never seen an end zone, you've never, your foot's never been in there, You thought you had it, but they held you right there on that one-yard line. Deliverance is your key. You need deliverance to get into the end zone. You cannot walk in the end zone of Christ without deliverance.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter what kind of degrees you have or education you have, because a lot of us believe that, you know, have a master's, a PhD, whatever it is you want to do. And sometimes the letter leads us to think more of ourselves than we really are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gives us a prideful attitude.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Go
and,
ahead.
In fact, what you were getting ready to say, that,
mm-hmm.
that what keeps is the pride, ego, and a religious spirit.
Well, let me ask you this. I've asked people this. What is an ego? Why do we have one? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we really shouldn't.
We shouldn't, because I don't think God.
Mm-mm. No.
It's like what about self-esteem? Well, we shouldn't be esteeming ourselves.
No.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
But we esteem
them. Right. Exactly.
Right.
Because we haven't done anything.
Jim Brewer told me that.
You know, that is so true. Mm-hmm. We haven't done anything. What have I done?
Right.
Did I get any nails in my hand? Did I get beat up a heel for anything?
Mm-hmm.
We yell just because somebody made us feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They talked about me, and, oh, they're hypocrites, and a lot of people won't go to church and won't apply themselves in the Lord because somebody did something
mm-hmm.
to me.
Well, they have a spirit of unforgiveness.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and you need
and
to start.
It ministers to them unforgiveness.
Oh, yes.
They've
Lord.
Got to get delivered of that.
Yeah.
They can forgive.
Right. Exactly. And people don't understand. If you don't forgive, if you're still mad at me
mm-hmm.
for something I did to you 20 years ago,
yeah.
you know, that's,
yeah.
that's an old spiritual song. I shall not be moved, you know. You talked about me yesterday. I shall not be moved.
Yeah.
We hang on to every little bitty thing.
Well, you know, since we're talking about the football analogies and everything,
mm-hmm.
it is kind of humorous, but there's a lot more truth to it. And,
yeah.
and some people won't go to the football game because they think they're being talked about in the huddle.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They think that that they have a paranoid, or they think that everybody and so
cool.
even though that's a little humorous,
but
it does strike
true.
A nerve with some
it's
people.
Bad. Yeah.
And you know what?
We're overly sensitive sometimes.
This
yeah,
happens in the pulpit
as well.
We have ministers. We have pastors. I know pastors that think everybody in the congregation talking about them.
Yes, that's
horrible.
It is.
Yeah, that they don't like me. They're talking about.
Well, it's like the saying: if you tell the truth, and you don't have to remember what you said, and you don't have to apologize for what you said. Let's talk truth. I mean,
that's true.
That's why I love the program.
That's right, and I do too. But I say this: if you talk about, if I don't hear somebody talking about me, I start to get worried. You know, oh God, I'm slipping.
Right.
I'm not doing right.
Yeah.
You know, if you're on the path for God and your purpose is God, people are going to talk about you.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going to talk about you because they want you to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The adversary says, stop doing what you're doing. You're affecting too many people.
Yeah.
And this is an awesome thing. My prayer from this night forward is that
yes.
everybody that I know, please stand up for deliverance.
Yes.
Yes.
Ask the Holy Spirit to show you.
Yes.
He's there. He
yes.
will.
He will.
I've
he
learned
will.
A lot tonight. This
and then get with somebody that'll
yes,
yes,
that
yes,
knows how to pray
down.
The prayer of faith. Yes.
Somebody that knows.
The
yes.
prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And what is sickness except sin in your life or you're in a
and
position.
The spirit of
yes.
But I'd like to briefly, because we've got a minute or two left,
mm-hmm.
But all my time that I was going to church, and I was saved, but I hadn't been delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you think that the truth that, you know, like going and attending, even though I was physically there, but I wasn't there really emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
But the truth that was being spoken at all those times, when I was delivered, it all came out.
All
so
of
it
them,
was,
yeah.
in other words, the
what
people that were thinking that, he's not paying attention.
Yeah,
that's not it's going in one ear and out the
yeah.
other. No, the truth stays to the spirit. And
oh.
when you're delivered,
yeah.
then it's there and it will come
mm-hmm.
through. And that's one
wow.
thing that I – so even if a person doesn't act like they're there,
uh-huh.
but they're there
yeah.
physically, then they're going
to –
the spirit. God
is
part of the spirit. Yes.
Because God has to move that other stuff in a fallen place.
Amen.
Wow.
Right.
Isn't that awesome?
Powerful.
I mean, that is actually – you know, that's a nugget. I always call
yeah.
them nuggets. When God
okay.
gives you something profound,
that's, right.
that's a nugget. You need to grab it and hold on to it.
Yeah.
Because it really is.
Yes. I want to say I enjoyed the show tonight. It's been really eye-opening, very thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to reading that book that you put out there real
oh.
soon. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, thank you.
I'll let him read the one I
yeah,
have.
Okay.
No, I'm glad, you know,
thank
you
me.
Said that. And I'm just glad I met these two people.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I'm blessed that
I met
all y'all.
And yeah. she said something that I say in every show. We want every broadcast to be thought-provoking.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called Let's Talk Truth.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to see a side of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say in my theme song, Let's Talk Truth, to show a side of you that we keep hid. You
yes.
know, I don't want anybody to know it's there.
Yes.
But, you know, God needs to know it's there so he knows how to deliver you from
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
He needs you to acknowledge that it's there. He
right.
knows
he
it's
knows.
There.
Yes.
But he needs you to acknowledge, Lord, I don't know what to do about this big thing in my chest, but can you move it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You may not even know what name to give it.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think Miss Light, will she be coming out with a book or something to help other folks learn how to cook?
Well,
she knows how to cook.
Well, we have another book that's in final editing, and Ronnie's going to be writing a chapter in that book.
Mm-hmm.
My part's finished.
Oh, okay.
And it's
about how God makes us war horses.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, that's
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. And I want you... Brian is going to help me get my book published.
Yes.
It's called Connect the Dot.
The Lighthouse Publishing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Awesome.
Want you to understand that everything that happens to you in your life, don't discount it because God is going to connect it to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get in the end zone, you're going to have this beautiful picture. Only God can tell you what it is, but you'll have it.
Amen.
I promise you. Connect the Dot. Okay. We're coming down to 60 seconds. And... I want to say that I have really been thoroughly blessed. And I want everybody out there to understand one thing. This is 2014. Don't look for God's blessing so much as now as look for his miracles. Because he's going to come with miracles. And in every little thing that you do, seek God's face every day.
Mm-hmm.
He said because there's a miracle in every little bitty thing that's going to happen to you.
Amen.
So start just looking for God's miracles. And even if not, you don't see them for you, look around. They're everywhere. That's
yes.
all you're going to see are God's miracles.
Yes.
Because he wants him to be known. He wants us to know this is me. by something that I can do. So I thank everyone for being here, Mr. and Mrs. Light, Brian, and,
a blessing to
and Ronnie. And I thank Mr. Motivator, Louise. Thank you for being here, even though you weren't as talkative tonight. But you still offered a great insight.
And don't forget Reverend Dr. Dewey.
We're going to bar him from all this stuff from now on. Okay. So as I always say, this is Lois Bullock, and this is Let's Talk Truth. You've been listening to it, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night.